know God, to experience God, to enjoy God in a day-by-day, moment-by-moment experience as we connect with Him. We want to be a church connecting with God, living in the deep knowledge and experience of the love and grace of our Father in heaven, knowing that the only one who truly knows us, who completely understands us, who sees our potential, who is on our side, who loves us unconditionally and unreservedly, is always there with us for us to connect to. We want to be a church where we're living day by day, moment by moment, resting in the peace and alive with the joy that that knowledge brings to us. A church that is living in the flow of the empowering of God's Holy Spirit in a new way as day by day, moment by moment, we connect to God. A church where we are seeing our lives in an ongoing way transformed into a deeper and deeper likeness of Jesus as we're connecting with God and walking in responsive obedience and faith with Him. Is that what you would like in this next season? This is my passionate cry for my life in this next season, and I hope it will find an echo in your hearts. Excuse me, I've got a bit of a cold. So our first vision statement is simply this: that we will be seeking for ourselves to know and experience more of the fullness of what it means to be connecting with God and seeking to help others discover and know this for themselves too. Why is this so important? Well, obvious things really. But why is it first on our list of vision statements? Well, firstly, because connecting with God is what we are made for and what we are saved for. We're saved for this very thing. God created us for one reason and one reason only: to be connected with Him, to do life with Him. From the early chapters of Genesis, we see God's intention for mankind, and that is to know Him, to walk with Him, to talk with Him, and to experience Him. We see in those early chapters of Genesis, we see an amazing description of Adam and Eve's experience of walking with God in the cool of the day in the home that He had made for them. We see that in Genesis 3. It's an amazing picture. I don't know what that would have looked like, but it's an amazing picture of friendship and closeness and a normality of interaction between God and man that I cannot help but marvel at and just wonder, what must that have been like? What would they have talked about as they walked together? What would that have felt like for Adam and Eve? What they have done together? It's what we were created for, to know and experience and walk with God. And sadly, of course, we know that kind of the perfection of that connectedness between God and man and woman was broken by sin. Mankind's disobedience and rebellion against God, which didn't just deeply scar our lives, but drove a wedge between us and God's holy presence, a barrier that we on our own can't get over or under or through. But amazingly, gloriously, now we were singing a number of songs. What really stirred in my heart as we were singing was that word gloriously. God has saved us gloriously. God loves us gloriously. God has won a victory that is glorious, not something that is of human conception or our understanding or something we could come up with, but just something that God has done that reflects His magnificence. God has gloriously worked in history, the Bible tells us, and never for one moment turned His back on us or rejected the purpose that He had made us for, which was to know Him and to be connected to Him. And if we look at the other end of the Bible, from Genesis, we see a description of what it's going to be like when Christ returns. Revelation tells us when Jesus comes back again, as He will one day, that He will make everything new and perfect again. A new and restored earth and heaven. A new and restored experience of life for all those who are His, with no death, no pain, no sadness, no sickness. And at the very center of this new and restored life is a restored experience of man and God being perfectly connected together. Let me just read you a couple of verses from Revelation 21. This is John's vision of that time when Christ comes again. He says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God.'" It was God's intention at the beginning. It is what God is going to restore in perfection at the end. And it's why God sent his son, Jesus, in that unbelievable miracle of incarnation that we've just celebrated at Christmas. Why did God send Jesus? To restore to us again what we had forfeited. To bring us back into relationship with him, to connect us with him again. That is why God has demonstrated his love and grace to us through Jesus. It's not just to get us to heaven, but it's to reconnect us to himself so that we might stay reconnected with him now and forever. And our sin was laid on Jesus on the cross, and the thing that stood between us and God was put on Christ's shoulders. And as he paid the price for it with his life, and as he broke the curse of it, and as he won a glorious everlasting victory over it, for the one and only time in history, Jesus, the Son of God, who has lived from eternity to eternity in perfect relationship with Father and Spirit, was cut off from the Father, so that he cried, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus, as he paid the price, was momentarily cut off from God so that through his sacrifice, we could be restored to God forever. So that we could discover and know and enjoy what it means once more to be connected to God, to experience the fullness of God's plan for our lives, to do life with him, to be connected with him. This is the goal of God's salvation plan, that we should be connecting with him once again. That's why it's at the core and the front of our vision, that we want to be a church that is connecting with God. It's what we've been made for and saved for. And the next thing, if I could have the next one up. Thank you. Living connected with God fully satisfies the deepest thirst of our beings. Jesus himself, he spoke about a life connecting with God day by day and moment by moment. And he described it on at least a couple of occasions that we have recorded in the gospel as being like having your deepest thirst fully and extravagantly quenched. To a woman who had been looking in all kinds of things and people in vain to try and fill her life and satisfy her life, Jesus said this: "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you're speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. Those who drink the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become a spring of water welling up to eternal life." On another occasion, in a public religious ceremony at a Feast of Tabernacles, a Jewish feast where they were celebrating the very thing that God had come to dwell with his people, to be connected with his people. At a ceremony where water was taken from a pool and poured out symbolically in the temple, Jesus offered this invitation to all who would listen. He said, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within him." And John, who records this in his gospel, explains Jesus' words by saying, "By this, Jesus meant the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive." Why do we want to be a church connecting with God? Because connecting with God on a day by day, moment by moment, experience in our lives is the thing that fully satisfies the deepest thirst of our beings. It is such a powerful picture that Jesus presents. I'm very dry at the moment. I'm sure we can all recall times when we've been hot and parched, when our throat's dry and our lips are cracked, and we just think longingly about that cool drink that we're going to enjoy when we get home. There's that anticipation, that craving to have our thirst quenched. And then that amazing feeling as you take that first long pull of that cold drink. Jesus said that is just a pale reflection, a picture to try and help us understand what it is like to discover a life where we are connecting with God that will quench the very deepest thirst of our being. One commentator I read this week put it like this: Jesus' message was, the life your parched soul craves is now available to all who learn to live life moment by moment with God. As we do, we begin to experience the power of his life flowing up into our often lifeless world, a power that brings peace even in the storms, a power that gives self-control even when we're angry, a power to live a life of freedom from the chains that enslave us, what have we been hearing this morning, a power to develop deep, authentic relationships, a power to love even the most difficult people, and the power to experience a joy in the moments of each day as every moment of life becomes alive with new possibilities. Why do we want to be a church connecting with God? Because it's what we're made and saved for. Because it's the very thing that satisfies the deepest thirst of our beings. If I can have the third one, please. Because connecting with God is the key to spiritual life and growth and fruitfulness. It's so easy, no matter how long you've been a Christian, to find yourselves falling back quickly into the trap of thinking the key to spiritual life and growth and fruit is this. Can I have the next one, please? This is what it is not. The key to spiritual life, growth and fruit is not, one, God is good, two, I am bad, three, I must try harder. That is not the key to spiritual life and growth and fruitfulness. That is rubbish. This is what Jesus said is the key to spiritual life and growth and fruit. Could I have the next one, please? And the first one is, God is good. The second one is, I am made righteous and holy by his grace. The third one is, if I am connecting with him, fruit happens. If I'm connecting with him, fruit happens. Don't believe me? Let's look at the words of Jesus himself. John chapter 15, if you've got your Bible, you can turn to it. If you'd like to, I'll read it out. Why do we want to be a people connecting with God? Because Jesus says it is the key to spiritual life and growth and fruitfulness. Jesus said, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. Be connected with me. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus is with his disciples, with his closest friends, with those in whom he is going to entrust his kingdom mission. This is his last night with them before his death. You know that Jesus is very conscious that he is going to make these words count as he speaks to his friends. They've left the upper room where they celebrated the Last Supper. They walked across Jerusalem towards the Garden of Gethsemane, and they're walking through the Kidron Valley, which is full of olive groves and vineyards. And Jesus knows how easily this key to doing life with God can get lost in worry and busyness and even religious activity. And he wants his disciples to have a graphic picture that they will not forget of the key to life and growth and fruit in God. And so I imagine Jesus bending down and picking up a discarded branch that's detached from the vine in one hand, and then going over and grabbing with his other hand a branch that is fruit-bearing and attached to the vine. And he says this, "Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself," holding the dead, fruitless branch. "It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Whatever happens, Jesus is telling his friends, do not, please do not forget this. Your mission, your life will stand and fall on this. Staying connected with God, like the branch connected to the vine, is how fruit grows naturally. The branch doesn't have to strain to produce it. It stays connected and fruit happens. Why? Because the life of the vine flows into the branch and produces that fruit. And Jesus then spells out the obvious contrast. He says, but if you allow yourself to get disconnected from your Father in heaven, no amount of effort or striving will produce fruit. In fact, the branch will slowly die. Jesus' message, full of grace to us and his disciples, couldn't be clearer. He says, apart from God, we cannot grow into the person God intended us to be or accomplish what he's prepared for us to do, because we are created to live a life connecting with God. But if we keep connecting with him, if we remain in him, as Jesus said it, if we allow his life to flow through us, he will cause growth and fruitfulness and abundant life. It is scandalously simple, isn't it? And it is gloriously liberating and satisfying. And yet, how quickly we lose sight of this simple truth. And I say that to myself. How quickly we lose sight of this simple truth. Jesus says to his disciples, if you remember anything, remember this one thing. There is nothing complicated about it. There is nothing about it that is beyond any of you or me. Nothing that is too hard for us. Anyone can do this. Learn to make this the focus of your life, Jesus says. Live a life focused on connecting with God at every opportunity. Spiritual growth and fruit is simple. Stay connected with God, with his Spirit, moment by moment, and see what he does. Galatians 5 says this, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. We don't have to strive to change or grow." Jesus says, simply focus on this one thing. Stay connected and fruit happens. Stay connected and fruit happens. So we want, above all things, to be a church that is passionate about connecting with God. Because it's what we're made for, it's what he's saved us for, it's the thing that satisfies the very deepest thirst in our being, and it is the key, Jesus says, to spiritual life and growth and fruitfulness. Out of this, everything else will flow and grow and be fruitful. Out of this, everything else that we have in our vision will flow. If we get this in place, everything else in our vision will flow out of it and be fruitful. If we don't, We can have the greatest vision and the greatest strategy on earth, but there'll be no fruit. So we want to be a church that is connecting with God. And we want to do everything we can as a church to help one another in connecting with God. Could I have the next slide, please? Thank you. And the next one. Thank you. Actually, let's put them all up. Thank you. We want to be doing everything we can as a church to help one another connect with God. We connect with God, don't we, through his word, through our preaching on a Sunday, through our growth group studies and discussions, through the prophetic application and ministry of Scripture into our lives as we encourage one another in our own personal reading of the Bible. We want to do everything we can as a church to help one another continue connecting with God through prayer. Now, we meet fortnightly on a Sunday evening to pray as a church. We're changing the name of the prayer meeting on a Sunday evening from River of God to Revival Prayer. Now, this is not just a case of, well, it's a new year, let's give it a new name, let's try and jazz it up a little bit. Actually, this is in response to what we feel God is stirring in us about the promise of the release of his transforming grace and power in revival. We're going to give ourselves to cry out to God in prayer for revival. Give ourselves to meeting together to hear his voice, to declaring his praises. Let's give ourselves to being connected with God in prayer and see what fruit happens. And let's remember to testify when God answers prayer. You know, there is nothing that encourages us in prayer that builds faith than when we give testimony to God's answers to prayer. It's a celebration. It builds faith in us. Let's pray in our growth groups. Let's give ourselves to do that. Let's take every opportunity to connect with God in prayer, in our marriages, with our friends, with our children. Now, I heard recently about two guys who have been meeting once a week early to pray, and they sit in one of their cars in the car park of Jubilee Family Centre because it's the easiest place to meet. So if you're ever going by early and you see a car out there with two guys in there, that's what they're doing. Pray. So join with them and pray. But we want to do everything we can as a church to help one another connect with God in worship. God has called us to enjoy him, to rejoice in his presence, to be released into an all-consuming joy and satisfaction in praising him, to experience stunning times of intimacy with him. We want to continue to make this a high priority of our vision at Elsham Community Church. We want to eagerly desire together the baptism and the continual refilling of the Holy Spirit. Can I encourage you, if you've not received this gift, if you've not received the gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, don't go another month without receiving it. The Bible says it's for all believers. There are no first-class and second-class citizens in the kingdom of God. It is your inheritance. It is your birthright in Jesus to receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I would encourage us as a people, let's eagerly desire the Holy Spirit. Let's pray for it. Let's minister to one another. For each one of us, let's take every opportunity to drink deeply and grow in ministering in the power of the Spirit. We can experience this connecting with God corporately, but of course there's so much more to it than that, so much more that God has for us as well in our own individual kind of 24/7 life of connecting with God. God has created us to do a life with him, not just on a Sunday, not just at growth group, but moment by moment. The trouble is that we allow him to get crowded out of our lives so often, don't we? We allow God to get crowded out of our lives so often. We as the Gallaghers, got given a great Christmas present. We got given a Where's Wally calendar. Thank you, the At Hills. I don't know if you're familiar with Where's Wally, but they come in kind of books and different things. Basically, there's a big page, and on each page there's a kind of a noisy, overcrowded scene full of people, full of things, full of kerfuffle, a bit like our lives. And you have to spot Wally in each picture. And he's a little guy with a funny hat and a stripy jumper. And at first, it's very hard and very annoying trying to spot Wally. But actually, as you practice, the easier it gets to spot him. As you sort of retrain your eyes to be able to spot Wally faster and faster. And I think there's something of that in our awareness of God's presence too. God is with us moment by moment, but how often do we notice or stop to look? Wouldn't it be great this year as a church to train ourselves to stop more often and look for God in our day-by-day, moment-by-moment lives, to stop and connect with God, to pause more frequently to seek his help and guidance, or simply to give thanks for what he's doing in our lives, to allow the Holy Spirit to whisper the words of the Father in our hearts, or to prompt us to pray, or to speak to someone, or connect with someone, or to help someone, or to give a word of testimony. I want to be connecting with God, just stirring that, raising our awareness that God is with us moment by moment and inviting us, whatever we're doing, wherever we are, to connect with him. I read a book recently of a church that did an experiment. And what they encouraged everyone to do was to take their watches or their phones or their tablets or whatever it is they had, and to set the alarm for every 60 minutes. And they said, so every 60 minutes there's going to be a beep that's going off, and when it goes off, that's a trigger. Okay, I'm going to take a moment to reconnect with God. Goodness knows what their services were like. But there's just something of that raising our awareness and our hearts to connect with God moment by moment in all that we're doing. And yes, there's a discipline in shaping our lives and ordering our time in order to live life connecting with God, whether that's corporately or individually. But that's a discipline that comes out of grace, isn't it? Not because we're trying to earn God's favour. You know, we've got to escape this lie that says a quiet time a day keeps God happy and liking me. Yes, we want to embrace discipline because, like the Apostle Paul, who was a man who knew all about grace, he taught that there was a prize to be won and enjoyed. And like all athletes, we recognize the need to submit ourselves to discipline of training to take hold of it. But it's a discipline of grace. And I'll wrap up now. As a people in this next season of our lives as church together, my prayer is that we will discover together afresh the joy of connecting with God in a new and dynamic way. Together, corporately, individually, in our own lives. Because it's what we're made for. It's what God saves us for. It's what will fill the deepest longing of our hearts and satisfy the deepest thirst within us. And because we will see that as we stay connected, fruit happens. Prayer is answered. Gifts are multiplied. Grace abounds to us. God's love fills our hearts and compels us. We grow and we change. We experience an explosion of empowering grace in obedience of God. Because have you noticed that the more you are connected with God, the less sin appeals to you? The more empowering we receive to say no to sin and yes to God. And the more we'll learn together to recognize that still small voice of God's leading, and the more faith we'll have found in our hearts to be radically responsive to it. Stay connected, fruit happens. It's so simple, and yet it's so easy to forget and so easy to let it get crowded out. Above all things, I would urge us in this season, let's give ourselves to being a people who are connecting with God. Let's pray. And we're going to share communion. I wonder if the band could come up, please. Communion is just something we love to do together, part of our worship. It's a way of connecting with God. It's a symbol that Jesus gave us to remind us of what he's done, of the glorious victory that he's won on the cross for us, the price he paid for the freedom that he's purchased for us, as he's been reminding us of again this morning. So we're just going to share communion together. We'll pass it round, okay? We won't come up to the front. We're going to just worship. We're going to sing a song together. We're going to worship together. We're going to sing a song which will be kind of new to some of you, but just an expression of all that we've been talking about this morning. The God who satisfies, the God who invites us to stay connected with him and draw close to him. So we're going to sing and worship, and we'll pass the bread and the wine around. Please just share it where you are. So let's do that together. And we're just going to have a short time just to respond to what God's been saying to us again this morning. So thank you, Penny Band.